Would those two children like a story? And a children's story? See what we can do. Have you ever been to a garage sale? The terrible things. The worst still if you run one. But this is about a family in America. And Dad had a habit. He loved going to garage sales. Anyone here else like going to garage sales? I hate them. Terrible. But this Dad, he loved going to garage sales. And he would come home with his treasure. Mother called it junk. And he would come home with his treasure. And one day his wife said, "Listen. No more. No more. You're not going to another garage sale. All you do is come home with junk." So he didn't go to any for a while. And then one particular weekend, while it was coming up to the weekend, and he opened up the local newspaper, and he saw there was a garage sale just around the corner. He thought, "Yippee, I'm going to go to a garage sale." So Sunday morning, bright and early, he walked off to the garage sale. And out the front were tables all full of things. And he didn't see anything he really liked there, so he walked around the side and down to the garage, and he saw something under a blanket. And he lifted up the blanket, and what do you think he saw? Oh, it looked good. It was old. It was an old Harley Davidson motorbike. And he thought, "Wow." And he said to the owner, "Is this up for grabs?" He said, "Yep, you can have it for $20. $20. But I ain't going. It needs work doing to it. And it's a pile of rubbish. You can have it. But for $20, yippee, I've got a Harley Davidson motorbike." So he paid the $20, started walking home pushing his motorbike, and he thought, "Hang on a minute, I've got a problem. How am I going to get this bike past my wife? If you do, it doesn't matter." He got it passed into the garage. Harley Davidson. Now he thought, "I suppose I better see if I get this thing fixed." So a few weeks later, after looking at this motorbike and drilling over, I thought, "Well, these are the things I need." And he had a list. And he rang up the Harley Davidson store and said, "I've got this motorbike. This is the serial number. This is the model number, and I need these parts." A week later, the owner of the store rang back and said, "Sir, I believe you have a Harley Davidson." "Yeah." "Is the model number such and such?" "Yeah." "The serial number such and such?" "Yeah." "Would you go out to your motorbike on the right hand side, this long side of the seat covers is a pin. Just push it. And it should flip open. And underneath you'll see the words 'The King' written there. Have a look." "Oh yeah, I'll have a look." Went out, clicked it, opened it, had a look. Ooh, it was there. So he went back inside and said, "Yeah, it's all there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the words are there too." He said, "Oh, good. Will you sell me the motorbike for $80,000 "What? He got such a fright, he hung up the telephone. Why would that? He only paid how much for it? $20. And now someone wanted for $80,000. He said, "Ooh, something's wrong here. Have I got stolen property?" Well, I don't know. It's only an old motorbike. 2 weeks later, got another phone call. This time from a very well-known disc jockey. Disc jockey, you know, they have the radio stations. They sell all the pop stars. And so, hey, you got a motorbike? Yes. The serial number? Yes. The model? Yes. Underneath the seat? Yes, has got that too. Can I buy the motorbike for $150,000? $150,000. But he said, "It's not going." "Well, I don't care. Will you sell it to me?" Why? Why is it so valuable? It's only an old wreck. Because your bike was originally owned by the King of Rock, Elvis. And when he bought it, he had those words, "The King," written underneath the seat. $150,000. You know, there's a very important lesson in there. It was only an old motorbike worth nothing, $20. But because it had those two words written underneath the seat, it went from being worth $20 to $150,000. That's a bit like you and me. We might think we're not worth much. But we are. Want to know why? When you listen in the sermon today, you will find out why you're worth a lot. Because when you and I accept Jesus as our Saviour, we become what? Child of a King. The best King of all. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word, as we consider this very beautiful passage we're going to look at this morning, may we each be drawn closer to you, we pray, to love you, to serve you, and to have you more in our hearts day by day, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, beginning with verse 13. Here we have in this last part of Isaiah 52 and the whole of Isaiah 53 a very beautiful picture of Jesus. Isaiah 52, verse 13 to 15. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut up their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Here in these words we have a very simple picture of Jesus given. That he would be exalted. That he should be very high. But how high? How high? Isaiah 42. It's a Bible study this morning. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, 1 to 4, we read these words. Behold my servant who I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment in the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. What a picture of Jesus. What a picture of power. Picture of majesty. In the hands of this person, Jesus, is placed the future of us all. He is King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords, the ruler. And yet to reach to this point, we all know it would come at a cost. In Isaiah 52:14 we read, that his visage was marred more than any other man. His visage was marred. You know, it's interesting. I don't know whether you've seen the DVD or the video where they did a film on the book of Matthew, taking it through verbatim. And dealing with the crucifixion scene, the gentleman who acted the role of Jesus, it was amazing. When they did all the makeup on his face, the thing that shocked him was as he walked up to the set, people looked at him and turned away. They could not cope with what they saw. And yet it was makeup. Jesus was marred, bruised, beaten. More than anyone else. Psalms 22. Psalms 22 gives another picture of this. Psalms 22. Psalms 22, verse 6. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, a despise of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot at the lip, they make their head saying, they shake their head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Here in the Psalms is a prediction that the people would scorn, they would shoot out the lip, they would shake their head and say, ha! He trusted in the Lord. Did it happen? Did they really do that? Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And they that passed him, here was Jesus on the cross, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." It happens, doesn't it? It happened. It's amazing how much power people feel they have when I think they've got the upper hand. And the people of Jesus' day would have read these words of Psalms. They would have known them. And yet how easily they all fell. How easily they fell into the trap of doing and saying the wrong thing. And yes, how careful we need to be that we today don't do the same thing. In Isaiah 52:15, we read that he would sprinkle many nations, that the kings of the earth would shut their mouths at him, that there would come a time when they would all appreciate him for who he was. Would it really happen? Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 5. Which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. There will come a time at the end of time when the world would recognise, like it or lump it, Jesus is the Creator. That in him alone there is breath, that in him there is life. And it is Jesus who was willing to give all, that we might have life. Isaiah 53. Here we have a picture of Jesus given. Isaiah 53. And it begins with a question. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed the report? You know, that question is still real for the day, isn't it? How many believe the report of Jesus? Not many. How many people believe and recognize Jesus for who he is, for what he is, for what he did for them? Not many. Do we believe that Jesus is our Saviour and King? Do we believe that Jesus was God with us? But as we go into this chapter, we read a bit more. Verse 3. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Here we have a picture of Jesus not being loved. That he was not liked. He was rejected. A man of sorrows. Despised. And what a picture to paint, that Jesus would come to this planet to save mankind, and that they would treat him in such a manner. Could it really happen? Was Isaiah just dreaming on? John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we read the proof. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. What a sad tale. What a sad statement, that he would come to his own people, his own house, the children of Israel, and they would not listen to him. His words meant nothing to the people of his day. I pray that his words mean more to us today. That we today are willing to listen to the voice of Jesus as he speaks to our heart. You know, it is hard enough that the people were not willing to listen. But the people back there were willing to go even further. Isaiah 53. Verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. What a picture. Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel. He was bruised. He was beaten, wounded, put to death. What an amazing thing to happen, that one so innocent could have to face all of this. And really, he had no part of our sin. One so pure, one so holy, could suffer the sins of the whole world. Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offences, and was raised again for our justifications. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Beautiful picture, those two verses, of the love of God. To face this suffering. To give Jesus to this world that we may have hope. And the hope that is given is real. It's true. It is there for us all to receive at his hand, if we are willing. Isaiah 53 verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all can go astray, can't we? We all can lose the way. We're all guilty of doing our own thing. And yet, we find that Jesus was willing to take the punishment for us all. Verse 7 we read, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Very vivid description that, isn't it? Sheep. When they're brought in to be shorn, they never say much. I know, I grew up on a sheep farm. Never said much. But was Jesus really that quiet? Matthew 26. Matthew 26:59. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. But he found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and he said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the temple of and the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses say against you? And in verse 63 we read, but Jesus held his peace. Jesus held his peace. What a picture of Jesus. He was so powerful. He could have said a lot. Just one command and they all would have been destroyed. But he stood there, silent. Why? Because Jesus had his eye on the main prize. He had his eye on you. He had his eye on me. And he wants to save us from ruin. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. He shall declare his generation. For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And now with the trial all done and dusted, we find that he will be taken out and put to death. There will be no escape for the one who made all things and who wanted to save to the uttermost. The choice was simple. He must die. Die he did. And in every detail the words of the chapter would come true. He died how? Between two thieves. Buried where? In a rich man's tomb. Was any deceit found in him? No. No. In Isaiah 53 verse 10, we read some interesting words. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make as his soul an offering for sin, and shall see his seed, it shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Here we read some strange words. That God was pleased to bruise him. God was pleased he'd put him to grief. How could that be? How can that be with all the suffering that Jesus went through? The answer is found in verse 11. And that being that as Jesus hung there on the cross and thought of the ones who would accept him and who would be saved, it was all worthwhile. And through all this suffering, a way was made possible for the future of mankind. What a wonderful thought. But better still was the thought that through all of this pain and suffering, then there would be a certainty that one day death and sin would come to an end. The devil now had a use-by date. Yes, it was painful. Yes, it was cruel. But sin and death would come to an end. And for us today, there is hope given. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, there is hope given to us all. First John chapter 2. Verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have hope. We have way of escape. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, 18 and 19. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Isn't that beautiful? What a wonderful Saviour we have in Jesus. It's through him and him alone we have hope. Yes, Adam failed, but Jesus won the battle. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and to his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. What a picture of Jesus coming in glory, power, honor. No longer the Lamb, he is now ruler. No longer standing there dumb, he now stands as the one who has won the battle over sin and death. He stands now as the one who has won the battle over the devil for this planet. And now we see him coming in power, glory. What a day it will be. But that's looking into the future. Revelation 3. And this is a promise for you and for me today. Revelation 3, verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my Father's on my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Jesus won the battle. But more than just winning a battle, Jesus now wants to sit at the table with you. He wants to be with you today in your heart. And if you are willing to let him in, he will be one with your family. And finally, when he comes, we will then see him face to face. What a day that will be. May we each be true and faithful. May we each never let go of his hand. And may we each appreciate what a wonderful sacrifice, an amazing sacrifice he accomplished so that we today can have that hope. The hope is real. It is there for you and for me today. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, what amazing love it is that thou were willing to give all that we today might have hope. And as we go into this week that lies ahead, may we abide in that hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.